Thank you, Kent. Good morning, everybody. What a blessed day. I'm so glad you're here. And it just feels so good to be healthy. You know, have you got that cold that's going around that in the lungs and stuff? Several of you got that. And just so happy to be healthy this morning, and you're here healthy. Amen. And in fact, David over here, most of you don't know David, he just had heart surgery Monday, and he's here. You know, he can't stay away. He's hurrying to get back. No. Good to see you, bud. So recently, I went to Safeway. And as I walked in, there was a lady who was walking out with a little child. I don't know how old the boy was, 3 or 4, something like that. And she was having a bit of a problem with this wonderful child. And she said to him, "You better come along." And he sat down on the ground, decided he wasn't coming along. And she said, "Well, I've had it with you. You can just stay here. I'm leaving." Well, he was smarter than that. He knew she wasn't going anywhere. And he just stayed there and threw himself down on the ground, just crying and throwing a fit. And so she walks to the door, she turns around, she comes back. "I'm going to tell your dad." And that didn't work either. "I've had it with you. Santa Claus isn't going to come." I don't know, you shouldn't actually say that, but there was this negotiation that she started in trying to get the child to be obedient, and the child had nothing to do with it. He was a brat. He was immature. He was a child. Now, you would think with an introduction like that I'm going to talk about child rearing, wouldn't you? No, I'm not. I'm going to talk about us as Christians, as believers, about the brats. That's right. About the bratty ones in the church. Are any of you here today? Let me see. Who's the bratty ones? Yeah. There's only a few honest ones. They always think that I got something up my sleeve, going to trick you. Well, it's interesting. Now, we've been talking about in John and about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done for us and how he revealed himself to us. And you get to a book like the book of Ephesians and you see the power of Christ, the resurrection power, and how it is to affect us. And in the second chapter, it talks about that, or maybe it's the first, that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Oh, the second. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but God, in his mercy and his love, he has raised us up, he says. God Almighty has raised us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I mean, it's a glorious thought. And any of us and all of us who know anything about our salvation, that's a glorious thought. That in Jesus Christ, we've been raised up. That we have salvation, we've been born again, that we're raised up into heavenly places. And I repeat that again, heavenly places in Christ. I mean, it's a high place. It's a high, glorious place. It's a position that we have in God. How come we can't act like that? Why is it that it translates something different into us? Why are we so immature? Why are we still so self-centered and so selfish? Why do we bicker and fight? Why are we critical of other people? Why do we get attitudes when something doesn't go our way? Why do we lose our temper when something happens of a loss that we have, and so we're so angry, angry with God and angry with other people? Why is it? And of course, in a church this size, there's probably only one or two that are like that, that have that kind of attitude and immaturity in life, like they're a four-year-old throwing a fit. After all that God has done in Jesus Christ, we act like that. Aren't you glad that he's patient with you and with me? Aren't you glad that he loves you and he loves me? So he tells us that we have that position, that we've been raised up with him. He tells us all the things that God has done for us, and then he says in the fourth chapter, I therefore, this is Paul, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. You ought to walk worthy in a way in which you've been called in Christ Jesus. You know, that lifted up in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? He has done everything for you, that you didn't work your salvation. It was by grace that you're saved. And it's not of works, lest you feel, have a boast, or you feel good about yourself in a way that you shouldn't, that you feel better about yourself than you really should, that you can't take any credit for your salvation. It's only because of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And the only part that you played at all is that you recognize that you're a sinner and you need God. I'm a sinner. And even God is the one that placed that in you. And he drew you by his Spirit. And he came upon you and you confessed your sins as a sinner. God, I need you. And that last part, God, I need you, is you come to a place in your life that you say that over and over and over again, that you realize your need for God. And you never lose that need for him. So Paul says, okay, now, since all these things are true, in fact, Peter said basically the same thing. Peter says, you have everything you need through Jesus Christ, the knowledge, the epignosis of God. That's the experiential knowledge of God. You have everything, because you've experienced God, you have everything you need for life and godliness. And in 2 Peter, as he says that, he says, now what I want you to do is to add a few things to your life. And it names like seven things, and it builds and builds and builds. It's a wonderful reading there in 2 Peter, the first chapter. But here we are, kind of settled in sometimes and thinking that we have maybe arrived in some way, or that we're mature, and that I just wish other people could come to the place that I have in Jesus Christ. They'd be much better off. But Paul, he says some interesting things here. As he talks about this living the right kind of life, if you really have Jesus Christ, and in verse 2 it says, with all humility and gentleness or meekness, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Did you catch something there that he said? Eager. You have come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ through the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit residing in you by the Spirit of God. He's in you and the power is in you. You have everything that you need for life and godliness. And you're eager to maintain unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he goes on, he talks about who God is. There's one God. There's one Spirit. Just as we're called to the hope. Let me start verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that you belong to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who was over all and through all and in all, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led hosts of captives and gave gifts to men. Now, so he says that the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, God is in us, that we're part of the body. Who's the head? Is that the pastor? It's not a trick question. No, it's not the pastor. He's not the head. He's just, I don't know what he is. Maybe he's a mouth, which doesn't have a whole lot of significance. A mouth. There's other things that are more important to the body, like your liver. And Sarah would say, kidney. Yeah, kidney is important to the body. Yeah. So we're all in this body. God, Jesus, is the head, but the head and the body are not separate. You can't separate the head and the body unless you like to watch Frankenstein and, you know, put the clips on and everything. No, we don't believe in it. It's not separate. So we're part of Jesus Christ. He's being the head. And we are part of that, part of each other. I don't go over here without my hand following. It comes along with me. My feet take me, and my whole body goes. It's not separate. And there's something that Paul wants to get us to understand about moving together with Jesus Christ, that he's the head and that we follow him and we move together. We're together in all of this stuff. We don't live apart, but we're together. We have a purpose that he is leading us and guiding us. But here's the problem. The hand decides it wants to go over here and play tiddlywinks. The feet decides it wants to go to the dance party. And so there's a problem pulling against each other. Now I'm just kind of making fun of that because obviously you go your separate ways, but there's something of us being together in Christ and in unity together. And he tells us that there's a problem. Now, in verses 9 on through, it talks about the gifts to the church, the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. But he says, for this purpose, to equip the saints. Now listen to this. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Okay, let me stop there. But here we are. That we come together. And obviously you're going to go to your home today or wherever you're going to go. The kids are up there in the mountains having their own church. So we come on Sunday, and do we have the same purpose? Are we moving? Here's what he says. The Word of God, the pastors, the teachers, are for the purpose of helping us become mature. Until we, in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to maturity. Okay. Are we there? are we at a place that we would say, yeah, you know, I feel like I'm mature. Now if we're going to be honest about all this, if we're going to be honest, most of us feel like we have a sense of maturity in life because we kind of compare ourselves to the guy on the street or to someone we know, and we're not bad like that. But we don't look at ourselves honestly. We don't look at who we really are and what is really going on in our life. I mean, do you really? Do you look at yourself? Well, how do you look at yourself? How do you do that? How do you decide? Yeah, I'm mature. Well, in this area, but there's one little area over here I'm not very. How do you do that? You look in the mirror and you check it out. Because here's the thing, we don't see ourselves correctly. We just don't. I mean, for real, we just don't. I mean, even as I'm speaking to you, my voice sounds different to me than it does to you. Do you know how I know that? Because I have listened to myself. And it drives me crazy. As I'm listening to myself, I have a much deeper voice than I do. I'm like Raven Tessel. I'm Pastor Dave Manning. Now that's how I hear myself. And the way you hear me, hi, I'm Dave Manning, how are you doing? I listen to myself and it's like, who is that? Who is that guy? And especially when I get a little excited, my voice goes up a few octaves. I sound like a chipmunk. I hear myself differently than I really am. And you know what? We see ourselves differently than we really are. That's why he says in verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into the Lord. We're to grow up every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. But we don't see ourselves properly. Do you believe your wife and what she says to you about yourself? Or do you think she just has an attitude and she's not submitted? Submit, woman. I mean, how do you believe your husband when he says something and he says to you, you're being a brat? No, he's just overreacting, right? Because that's not how you really are. Do you shy away from people who are willing to share with you some weaknesses that you might have? Does anyone shy away, or am I the only one that shies away from those people? Yeah, it hurts. I don't want to hear the negativity. You're just being negative. But he says that we should speak one to another. Love with truth. The two go together. You can't just have truth without love or love without truth. But the two of them go together. It says about Jesus, he was full of grace and truth. That he wanted us to know the truth, but there was something of graciousness to him. I mean, look at the woman that was caught in adultery. You know, they wanted to kill her because that was the law. That was the right thing to do. Kill her. Let's stone her. Jesus, shall we stone her? And he kneels down, he writes something, and then he says, hey, you that have never sinned, you cast the first stone. There's some in the church today, I don't know about here, but I'm telling you, there's Christians who call themselves Christians today in churches that would have cast a stone. They wouldn't look at themselves and say, no, I have. And be honest, no, I've sinned. I've sinned. And Jesus was so gracious to her. But he's also truthful. And he told her, don't sin again. Don't go and do that again. And did you notice he didn't have an attitude of any kind toward her or even to the ones that wanted to stone her? That he loved them both. He dealt with truth and love, grace and love, grace and truth to deal with the problem. So where are you in your Christian walk? Paul, he says, until we all attain unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, when you're born in Jesus Christ, you're born a baby. And I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus used that term, that when you're born as a baby, a spiritual baby now. You don't come into the kingdom of God and you're totally mature. Oh, you got some stuff to learn. And it takes a long time. And can I tell you that Paul put himself in this? Yeah, maybe he says, we, let me read that again in the 13th verse, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Now, maybe he was thinking in himself, well, we all need to be there, and I'm there. But I don't think Paul wasn't that way. He didn't view himself as this mature, incredible man of God, because I'll tell you why he didn't. Because he found himself with Jesus all the time, and you're with Jesus, and it just humbles you. And that's why he starts this whole thing in the fourth chapter. He says, walk worthy of the walk in a way that you were called. Worthy with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity. So how do we act toward people? What is what's our attitude toward people? Because remember, when you're born again, you're born as a baby. What do babies do? They do big poo-poos. Babies do that. Oh, maybe little poo-poos. When they get big, well, anyway. That's what babies do. And babies, now listen, babies are very self-focused. Have you noticed that? Babies are self-focused. And if something's not right, they'll let you know. They'll cry, they'll scream, they'll moan, they'll groan. If you do just right with them, they will laugh and have a good time. But then if you ignore them or something's not right, once again, they're crying and moaning. Now, that's what babies do. Now, listen, when we were born into the kingdom of God, we were born in as babies. Now, I'm saying this for some of the mature ones that might be, or the ones who think they're mature. I'm saying that for some of those out there who think they're mature and who are frustrated with the babies because they're doing poopies. They're doing little stinkies. And you're frustrated with that. That's what babies do. And in every church, there's babies. I don't know what the percentage of babies we have here, but I guarantee you, far more than we would like to see. Babies. Babies are selfish. You know, that's one of the things that Paul deals in this, the chapter 4 and 5 of Ephesians. He says, you once were selfish, but now you are a new creature. And what does he tell us to do? He tells us to think of other people. Not be so self-focused. Now listen. Be honest with yourself. Look in the mirror. Let me paint a picture. When you came this morning, who were you thinking about? When you came this morning, you walked in and you saw Jason wasn't here. Oh. I love Sarah, but oh, you know. I mean, did any of you do that? Probably not, because most of you are mature. When you came in this morning, what did you see? What did you do? What was on your mind? Oh, someone's got my seat. There's some of you, it would throw you off. Just this morning, Mike says, hey, let's do something different in the prayer room. By the way, a bunch of us go and pray at 10 o'clock in the morning. If you'd like, come. We pray for about 15 minutes. Come and pray with us at 10 o'clock in the morning. So Mike just rearranged it, put it in a circle instead of rows. And it's funny, everyone that went, oh, it's like, what's happening? You know, when changes come, we're like, ooh, there's something wrong. And our emotions, it says, tossed to and fro. Our emotions are tossed. Emotions give way this way. And this is what people who think they're mature and they're frustrated about something, or they'll quote scripture. Well, the Bible says that you're not supposed to do this. And look, they're Pastor Dave, they're doing it. You need to go take care of that. And I'll go, oh, okay, I'll pray about it, because I want to please you. You know, I want to do right. I want you to like me, so I'll go see if I can help that person. That's how we do. We're a bunch of babies. We just carry on about things. We get irritated about things. Am I boring you? Am I bothering you just a little? I'm hoping to bother you a whole bunch. Because here's what God wants for us. He wants us to become mature people who are not tossed to and fro by every little thing that comes in. Let me read that part. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Tossed to and fro by every waves. Now, I don't know what that means exactly. I have some ideas. Tossed to and fro by every waves. What's the waves? Have you noticed that emotions come and go, the waves of emotion? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how emotional we are? Have you noticed that sometimes when you get in your car with your wife and you head to church, you're frustrated with each other, you're angry with each other, and just this wave comes over you, the waves of emotion, and you say things and you're angry with each other, and then you say, well, I couldn't help myself, you kind of made me. I mean, have you ever noticed with yourself that you're arguing with your wife or your spouse or with the kids and you're frustrated and the waves of emotion comes, and then someone calls you on the phone, hello, and how you just change all that? Well, the waves of emotion come to all of us. How do you respond to those things? Do you consider and think of the other person, Paul said this, more important than yourself? Think of that. Someone else have this wave come because they're a baby. And this wave comes over them. And they're angry about something that you did or said, or the look that you had on your face. And you don't believe that you're a baby and you don't do little poopies. And so you're frustrated with this wave comes over there. And so they come and talk to you about it. And then all of a sudden, this wave comes over to you. Well, what do you do with that? Some of you have lived in church long enough that you discipline yourself. And you don't talk back. You wait till you get with your friends and then you talk about them. The waves that come and go. It's amazing. It's amazing about church life. Hey, don't be happy with yourself about those things. Don't be happy about the gossip that you do and the slander. And you know the difference? The gossip, you just talk about them and it's only a half-truth maybe. Slander, you talk about them with the intent to hurt them. A truth with intent to hurt them. And this waves come over you. Now, I'm not preaching this because I know something. I'm preaching this because I know human nature. I know how we are. I know how I am. I'll never forget, we were driving along in a van. There were seven of us in it, male and female, and all good friends. And we're with Jenny McCall. Some of you know Jenny McCall. I'll never forget this. It brought so much joy to me. And somehow, some way, I don't know how it happened, we started talking about someone. You know, we were loving and caring about that other person. But we started talking, you know, as you do in mature ways. You gossip in mature ways. And we were starting to talk. We were talking about someone. And Jenny McCall was sitting, I don't know, it seemed like it was a front seat. I don't know for sure. And she yelled out a scream, just really loud. I mean, stop it! And we all went, she's having a nervous breakdown. She said, I don't want to hear any more bad reports of people. You know, the Bible talks about thinking on things that are of good report. In Philippians, it says that. Think on these things, those things that are of good report. Don't be thinking negative about people. Thinking bad stuff about people. Think good things about people. Because if you do, if you focus on the good in people, you say, well, I don't know if there's any good with them. Oh, you know what? Inside of them, there is. Inside of them, whether it's a Christian or non-Christian, you know how I know that? Because Jesus gave his life for every one of us. Jesus died on a cross for every one of us because he saw potential. He saw greatness. He saw something inside of humanity, and he wanted to draw that out of them. On their own, they're just sinners, and they're headed toward destruction without God. But when the Holy Spirit gets hold of the heart, it begins to change. So, where are you with this kind of thinking? Where are you with this stuff? Let me read down a little further. In the 17th verse, he starts talking about the old way of the futility of our minds when we don't know God. And our life is darkened. We're away from God. And a verse, I broke my glasses and I have my old one, so I have to kind of focus here. In verse, I cannot see, 20, I think that is. He says, but that's not the way that you've learned Christ. The way you used to be is that you were callous and sensual and greedy, and practice all kinds of impurity. But that's not the way you've learned Christ. Now, why did he say that? Because probably some of them were still babies and still doing some of the things that they were saved from. Assuming that you have heard about him and we're taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. He says, put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Now, there is a tendency for all of us to deceive ourselves. Will you agree with me about that? We deceive ourselves. We kid ourselves. We don't face things that hurt, and we don't want anyone to tell us the things that hurt. But he says to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, what is this true righteousness and holiness? Well, we need to figure that out. I'm not going to go into that, but I am going to say some things that has to do with true righteousness and holiness. We don't steal anymore, verse 28 says, but we work with our hands. In verse 29, listen to the holiness in this. Listen to maturity in this. He says, don't let any corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion. Don't talk any bad stuff, but only things that build people up. I want you to think about that. What are you saying to your best friend about someone else? Is it tearing him down? Let me tell you what you do. This happened to me many, many years ago. It's probably been 35, 36 years ago. I was right in that door right there. And our church had disciplined a guy that was doing some things in the name of Christianity. We talked to him in a loving way, and we told him that he couldn't be on leadership any longer. And that's all, I always hate that kind of stuff. But we tried to do it right, and we did. And so as I'm saying goodbye to him, right at that door, he turns to me, and he mentions someone in the church that was in leadership. And he says, you don't know, but I know. And you better watch that guy. He's riddled with all kinds of sin and problems that I know about. Now, what did that do to me? And he walked out, and he didn't come back. He ran away from discipline, and he's still a babe today. But what he did, he deposited something in my brain. This is what he did. He dirtied my brain. The Bible in Hebrews says defiled. He defiled me. He dirtied my brain, and from that point on, 35 years ago, 36, 37 years ago, that happened, to this very day, this brain is dirtied. And I've always wondered. The guy didn't go to this church any longer, but I've always wondered, what did he know? And I'd watch him. And I'd listen for things. See if there was something I was missing. And I never saw anything. I didn't see the stuff that he was saying was there. What did he do to me? He dirtied my brain. Do you allow your brain to be dirty? That's what gossip does. And that's what slander does. Or are you full of love and you don't hear, want to listen to that stuff? You don't want to get into situations with people. Listen, if your best friend, if all they do is talk about people, you need to get a new best friend. I'm just telling you. Now, listen, I'm not saying that because I heard something. I know something. None of that stuff. I don't know anything. I'm dumb as a rock. But I know human nature. Not saying that you can't be friends with that, but you need someone that will speak to you things that will build you up and not tear you down and not dirty your brain. He says that we should speak things that build up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, isn't that an interesting little phrase? That we're to speak things that give grace. That give grace. I thought God was the only one that gave grace. No, no. You're a child of God. You're a child. What is grace? What does grace do? Well, it's unmerited favor, yes. But grace is also that which gives you a desire and ability to serve God. A desire for God and ability to serve Him. That's grace. And this is what you have the ability as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as someone who is learning to grow up in Jesus, you have the ability to speak things in people's lives that gives them a greater desire for God and a greater ability to serve. You have that ability. Are you using that? Or is it just, oh, I wanted to say crap, but that just wouldn't be appropriate. Do you speak just bad stuff? Do you just say things that are negative and things that tear down? Are you like me and you're talking about politics and you don't like this guy or this woman or that woman? And I can mention a few names, but I won't. Because I want to speak things that build you up. I mean, how are you? What do you do in life? Are you considering these things? Are you thinking about these things? Now listen, as I come to a conclusion, when you come through the doors, or when you're out and about, are you speaking things that build up or tear down? And let me tell you, there's no middle ground. Oh, maybe sports would be okay, but even in that, you can throw some things in there. I mean, how are you? You know, Christianity is like riding a bike. If you don't go forward, you'll fall over. Unless you're a clown of some type. And you can just, but you know what I mean? You gotta have the motion going forward to help you stay up. If you're not going forward as a Christian, and trying to learn how to please the Lord. Oh, I wanted to say this about that. I said it before, I think, and I told someone else this week. Jesus said, I do what pleases the Father. Can you say that? Well, you better not. I'm just telling you, you better not. The best Paul could say is I'm trying to learn how to please God. Do you understand that, the difference? Jesus is able to say, hey, whatever I do, I please the Father. No, no, we're in a state of just trying to grow up a little bit, trying to get our feet in the presence of God, and we're trying to learn these things. Don't we realize that we have so far to go and we're just learning? Many of us are babies. A few toddlers. And then Mike, an elementary guy, you know. I think I'm still a baby. I'm still bothered by things. I still get irritated. So when you come through the doors, what's your mindset? Is it about Dave Manning? Or do you think of someone else? Is it about the temperature of the room to fit your needs? Or you come in looking to meet someone else's needs? Let me tell you, that will show you where you are in Christ. And I got a feeling that we have a lot of people that come through the doors and don't think of other people and look around who they might touch for the kingdom of God. I'm afraid we have people who come in thinking of themselves more than they think of someone else. Yeah, I see Myrna. When you see Myrna, do you still have compassion? Does your heart bleed for a lady that lost her husband of how many years?
62 and a half.
Do you have compassion, or do you just don't think of her because you're only in your own little world? What am I trying to do here? Am I trying to make you feel guilty? No, I want us to get in unity, and I want us to realize that we're all in this together and we need each other, and we're not as good as we think we are. We're a bunch of babies. Let's stand. Oh, I love you so much. I tell you what, I'm so glad I'm your pastor.
I'm so glad you are too.
Oh, hi, I wanted to hear that. She said, I'm so glad you are. Are you ready to have a spurt of growth in your life? When you go home today, I want you to think of someone that's here. So look around real quick. See if your brain connects with anybody. Maybe it's someone that you've never seen before that you don't know. But look around. Just come on, look around. Have your brain connect. Or maybe the Spirit of God might just put someone on your mind. I have several. So, Father, today as we go our different ways, Lord, we want to grow just a little bit in you today as we consider other people more important than ourselves. And I just pray that by your Holy Spirit that today and maybe even this week, that you would bring to our mind the one that we looked at and that hit our brain. That vision and thought might come back to us, that we might pray for that one and consider that one for the kingdom of God. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you, Lord, for this body of believers. Oh, God, we want to grow in you. We want to grow up. And I thank you, Lord. Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, next week, John 12, one of my favorite stories, Mary who washes the feet of Jesus with her hair. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.